The Guardian.
Hey, listeners. This is your host, Lee Alexander, and when I'm not at work here on Chips with Everything at The Guardian, one of my hobbies is vintage computing. Some of my favorite computer games were developed in the 1980s. Now, you might be thinking Atari and Nintendo and stuff like that, but I'm actually talking about the Apple IIe, an early home computer that had a lot of flair and texture for its time. It was an era when passionate developers, often working on shoestring budgets, made surprising things happen with that comparatively simple machine. Back then, floppy disks, and these were these flat, black, plasticky sleeves with big holes in the middle lined with tongues of tape you weren't supposed to touch, they held about 140K of data, which today is just the size of a simple web page or a Word doc. Can you imagine? Luckily, thanks to the tireless work of people who crack open and preserve vintage software, you don't have to imagine. Now, while cracking and software piracy could really destroy a small developer back in the day, today, cracking is one of the only ways to preserve these programs in emulation environments you can go and use on the Internet Archive right now.
Hi, my name is 4AM. I've been cracking and preserving Apple II software for a little over 3 years now.
The 4AM Collection is a particularly unusual and skillfully imaged gathering of classic Apple II software hosted at the Internet Archive, comprising some beloved games as well as extremely niche educational products, some of which we've had no way to see at all since the hardware became obsolete decades ago.
I was looking for a new hobby a few years ago, and I grew up with an Apple II, and I grew up admiring the technical prowess and all of the crackers. Basically, anyone who grew up with an Apple II was surrounded by pirated software. Even if you had them in schools, you know, piracy abounded. And if you had any sort of collection at all, as I did, then a lot of it had, you know, crack screens at the, you know, when you first started the game up or the program or whatever. You know, I was just fascinated by this concept that there was this additional layer that had been stripped away in order to bring me this experience. You know, the few games that or programs that we did buy, originals, I couldn't figure out how to reproduce that. You know, I couldn't do that myself. So I was always impressed by just this mysterious process.
It wasn't until 2010 that this mysterious software cracker found the Apple II community online. That's actually about how long I've been following it myself, and the knowledge base that exists on the internet helped 4AM complete the puzzle.
Suddenly all the expertise I need is at my fingertips on the internet, and I was able to do it. I slowly realized that there were a number of programs, mostly educational software, that had never been cracked. You know, there was this real survivorship bias thing going on where, like, I was surrounded by pirated software growing up, Apple II software, and so I assumed, incorrectly, that everything had been cracked. And it turns out that's not true. There were hundreds, possibly thousands, of mostly educational software. Here we are slowly realizing that, you know, we have this massive quantity of missing history.
Why do I care so much about whether these weird old games and edutainment are lost to history? Well, some of that might be a topic for a whole different show, but when we come back, we'll have curator and archivist Jason Scott from the Internet Archive joining 4AM and I to talk about why cracking ancient software is actually a really cool thing to do. Welcome back to Chips with Everything. I'm your host, Lee Alexander.
My name is Jason Scott, and I'm the free-range archivist and software curator at the Internet Archive, archive.org, also known as the Wayback Machine, a bunch of movies, music, software, and other cultural artifacts from all of human civilization.
So people send Jason physical things like big boxes full of floppy disks, and he then finds a way to get the stuff on those disks, the images, as we say, online.
But we're also trying to make the actual programs on the floppies and the CDs and everything run in your browser, because one of the things we discovered was that if people can't really feel what those programs were like in some way, they don't really connect to it. And they also perhaps don't apply as much value to it. You know, if you show them a picture of a weird old game that has three little dots for a person and, you know, some random walls, they'll say, oh, it's a shame you had to play such simple, terrible little games. And then if you make it available to them to play, then they too can lose like 2 or 3 days trying to get the little block around the little wall.
But once these old images began to be widely available in a browser, albeit a little imperfectly, requiring a lot of tweaks and support, the immediate reaction was wonderful, Jason says. People came in with this rush of nostalgia and memories, and then they demanded more. So 4AM has his work cut out for him.
Cracking the programs themselves and, you know, stripping off the copy protection is still our best bet for preservation and, you know, being able to immediately use these in browser-based emulators on every platform. You know, in the retro community, there are now these add-ons that you can add to real hardware, to an Apple II, that allow you to load off of like an SD card or a USB flash drive and boot up. We're preserving all the bits as well as we can, and we are also stripping off and documenting the copy protection, you know, making them as widely available as possible to emulators today.
There are actually lots of Apple II era cracks playable in your browser via the Internet Archive, but the 4AM collection alone is up to 1,190 games. And of those, almost 900 had never been preserved or made available until now. It sounds like a lot, but this is really rewarding for everyone involved, I promise.
It's incredibly fun. It's intellectual crack, no pun intended. It's a wonderful hit because you get to be smarter than whoever put on the copy protection, right? But beyond that, you don't do this 1,000 times just to feel smarter than somebody else. Again, just focusing on the educational market back in the day, these were interactive textbooks. I mean, basically, like some idiot wrote a program in BASIC and they got to sell it to schools. No, like there were PhDs who started these software companies. You know, Dr. Jan Davidson, PhD, started Davidson and Associates. She personally, and then later they did a whole series of, you know, Word Attack and Math Blaster and, you know, these things that had specific educational philosophies behind them. You know, you get to peer at what it was like to learn math or spelling or grammar or science in the 1980s.
These were often quite sophisticated simulations with beautiful, old-fashioned graphics. I find I treasure them the way that you might an old globe because it tells us so much about what we knew about the world at the time it was made.
Just last week, we finally found a copy. We knew that it existed because we'd seen it in product catalogs and so on. We'd never found it. Someone got a collection from someone who used to work at a school, and it included a data quest, a database, basically, of Europe and the Soviet Union and all of the countries therein. I once preserved a science thing for elementary school kids featuring Squeegee the bookworm, and it was Squeegee talks about drugs or learns about drugs. And I think that was really where it hit me that, like, this is not just bits. Like, this was what we taught children. This is what I learned as a child in the 80s. This is what millions of kids learned was from these floppy disks and this curriculum and these philosophies that were embedded in these programs. The copy protection is the least interesting thing about it. It's just what we have to get past in order to see all the rest of it.
If you want to become a vintage software connoisseur yourself, you can definitely visit the 4AM collection at the Internet Archive. We'll toss a link in the show notes for you. Now, my own video series, if you want to check it out, where I explore old school Apple II games by talking softly over them, is called Lo-Fi Let's Play, and you can watch some at youtube.com/LeeAlexander1. Importantly, if you want to pitch in on the preservation effort, or you know someone with boxes of old diskettes, Jason Scott would love to hear from you.
My throwaway address, which does work, is apple@textfiles.com, TextFiles.com. And this reach out to people who know maybe where there's a big box of discs has been ridiculously successful. We've got people who work at schools who have gone down into the basement and found, you know, the 20 boxes of Apple II software untouched since the 90s. We have definitely, as of this writing, rescued north of 50 to 80 programs that had no real presence in the modern world. And by that, I mean nobody knew how to get it or where to image it or if it even existed in any physical form anymore. So it's working. And every once in a while, somebody's still contacting me saying, I have a room. That was the big one this week. Somebody wrote me and said, I have a room of this. And I'm like, I want to see your room. And he apparently has a bunch of educational software from the school library. And, just a lot of places got software and then put it away because we paid for that. You know, not knowing that, like, there's nothing that's going to bring it back except for somebody knowing what they're doing, pulling the magnetic data off these before it fades away. So it's worked out really well. I'm, like, way better than I thought. I thought, I'll get a couple guys, you know, but we've had a few dozen people contact us and work with us and send us discs to be imaged. It's runaway success.
I've actually met some of the crackers from back in the day who are now, you know, leading productive lives. They're about as old as I am, maybe a few years older. They're like, oh, that's very interesting. Jason Scott did a documentary called the BBS documentary a couple of years ago, and he interviewed several of the people that had been involved in the scene back in the day. They're now CEOs and CTOs and just regular people. I've also met the authors of some of the copy protection and the authors of some of the games and some of the founders of these companies. Some of them have actually sent me old discs that they're like, hey, I see this isn't in your collection. I have a copy. I have no means of digitizing it. I have no idea what we did with it or whether it's even easy to do it, but you seem like the guy. Could you go crack this? I'm like, sure. Former CEOs send me floppy disks, and I crack them and put them up and send them back.
Hey, thanks for sticking with us through this maybe a little extra dorky episode of Chips with Everything at The Guardian. For now, I'm still your host, Lee Alexander, and my producer is Ian Chambers. Thanks so much to our guest, Jason Scott, and 4AM for coming on. If you like Chips with Everything, please do subscribe to us on iTunes or your favorite podcasting app, and do give us a rating as well. Those ratings really do help us grow our listeners, and we appreciate them. That'll do us for this week. Join us again next time, and we'll be glad to have you.
For more great podcasts from The Guardian, just go to theguardian.com/podcasts.